Hey, good morning, Care Team. It's great to be with all of you today. And you may notice we're in some familiar surroundings back in the studio this week after a fantastic program on the road at Franklin 2 weeks ago. Today's theme is innovation, one of our values. And that program was one example of stepping out of our comfort zone to try something new. So thanks to all of you who provided feedback in the post-program survey. The consensus was that this was something you'd like to see again. So we appreciate all of your input as we plan future Andy's Open Door on the Road programs. There's also another great innovation I'd like to mention, and it's building on the success of a primary care pilot we launched last fall. Our patients can now self-schedule wellness exams and immunizations, as well as office visits for new or existing health issues. Some image exams, such as mammograms and bone density screenings, are also available to self-schedule in MyChart. And x-rays and other types of diagnostic imaging will be added in the coming weeks. Online scheduling makes it easier for patients to get to the care that they need while also saving administrative time and improving efficiency of our practices by freeing up time to focus on our care team members on higher priority tasks. It also reduces some of the inbound phone call volume and shortens patient waiting queues. So thanks to everyone, our clinicians, our frontline care team, as well as our IT team to make this all possible. And these innovations and investments enable us to provide better experience for our patients and care team members while ultimately enabling us to provide the highest quality of care. And so this is a great way to live our values of innovation and patient-centered and ultimately help us achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. So while we're talking about innovation, this is the perfect lead-in to introduce my guest this week. So Maine Health's Vice President of Innovation, Susan Ahern. Welcome to the program, Susan. We're glad that you're here. And in addition to Susan being here, of course, we're always joined by Caroline back in her usual place this week.
I am. I'm back in my comfort zone now, Andy, although it was so fun to be able to get out on the road and actually be able to interact with people face to face. So
it really was. It was fun before the program started. It was fun during the program. It was great after. We really had the chance to kind of spend some time with some of the care team members up in Farmington.
It was great. And they had some great questions, too. And so we're back to the usual format this week, but we do want to talk about innovation. So if you've got questions for Susan or for Andy, please put them in the chat like we're used to doing. I've got a bunch of email questions that came in as well. So make sure when you put your questions in the chat, first, last name, and pronouns to make it easier for all of us. And other than that, I know Susan's got so much to talk about. I work with the innovation team a lot, and there is tons going on. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, the innovation program was relatively new when I got here. So it started before, you know, I arrived here and had been up and running. But it's one of those things that takes a little time to kind of get going from the time that it's first launched. And just watching it explode and blossom has just been such a joy for so many of us. So Susan, how long have you been a part of Maine Health now?
I joined Maine Health 3.5 years ago in March of 2020.
Outstanding. Yes. And now you had an interesting background before joining us as a healthcare system. So tell everyone a little bit about what you have done in your prior life before joining us.
Thank you. Just on the personal side, I graduated from Colby College right here in Maine.
Outstanding.
I married a lovely Mainer, live in Biddeford, and we love the outdoors. I love hiking and biking and picnicking. On the professional side, it's really important. I've created a couple of guidelines. I want to change the world, right? And so what's really important for me is to create impact and value for things that matter in life. What's also important is being with people who are incredibly kind and intelligent and have integrity and have that shared vision. And if we have that, both of those, then it's really fun. And so my background has always been in innovation and entrepreneurship. I've always been in life sciences and healthcare. And so I've co-founded 4 companies, one in biotech, a cancer diagnostic, and an orthopedic and sports medicine physical therapy clinic. At the Consulate General of Canada, I was interested in learning about international trade and understanding economic development at a global level. And then I've also been an artisanal cheesemaker at an organic farm, and a high school lacrosse coach. So you can see the diversity of experience and background, which I just love, right? It's to be able to think differently. And if you connect the diverse thoughts, it's still that helping people who have ideas and bring them to reality to really change the world. So that's my background.
Yeah, Susan, thank you for sharing that. And I love the way you shared that. You really talked about your why, your personal why.
Yeah.
And my sense is that aligns ultimately with our main health vision of
Absolutely.
Working together so our community is the healthiest in America. And so you can really help people along their journey in participating in that vision. So I think that's really fantastic that you do that. So tell us about the Innovation Center, which you lead, because and you know, innovation is it's a value at Maine Health, right? It's an important value at Maine
right.
Health. And sometimes it's hard, you know, so you can think about, like, if you're a care team member, what you might do in the moment to really be patient-centered. But sometimes it's hard to think about what does it mean to innovate. And so your whole center is dedicated to helping our care team along those lines. So tell us about the center.
Sure. So Maine Health Innovation, just think of us as a resource, right? And if you have an idea, you want to move it forward, and so we have ways to help you along that way, because your idea could potentially solve some of our unmet care needs here. So it's really, really cool. And our three pillars are: we educate, we connect, and we fund. So we educate on how to think differently, we make connections, we make the introductions so folks can, you know, have that diversity of thought and all the time. And then we have a funding mechanism, because you need a little bit of seed money to move an idea forward. So that's what we do here. That's what we do. Can I share who is involved?
Of course,
and if
please.
We could bring up a
please,
slide that
yeah,
we have.
Absolutely.
So I know folks, we have a organizational chart, and it's a little bit different, of course. And this is how our brain works, right? So we have the innovators at the center of all we do. We have our Maine Health Innovation Team, our amazing team supporting the innovators, and then all of our collaborators and care team members and partners are also engaged and love our vision, and so they're willing to help. So you can see the different collaborators here, and I just want to share, this is who helps our innovators to really accelerate so we can achieve our mission faster.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you've mentioned that theme a couple of times around the diversity of ideas and the diversity of your experiences, for example, helping to contribute to the cause of really helping our team innovate and think about what they do. And that's really important, isn't it, to really have a lot of different perspectives at the table when it comes to innovation.
Absolutely, and it's so much fun, right? Because you always want to be learning. It's like, oh, I never thought of that. Oh, what do you think of this? And it's also fun to build new relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's fantastic. Now, can you give an example of like what one of the innovations that you've helped foster and incubate looks like?
Yes, absolutely. And I'd like to, we have a short video with Sarah Cox. If we can launch that. It's just 3 minutes, and I think everyone will be absolutely inspired.
You know, I think any innovation, it takes perseverance on the innovator. You have to start with this idea that you're kind of burning with. We had a patient who was medically ready to be discharged to rehab, but was having a prolonged admission because he didn't have the impulse control after his brain injury to resist pulling at lines and tubes that he still needed. After about 6 weeks, I suddenly had this idea that he needs an article of clothing different than a hospital gown that would help him kind of resist grabbing at things. The first actual vision of it that I had, I actually drew on a napkin with a colleague of mine. We put a cracker right here and called him Cookie Head because it was just a little person. Shortly thereafter, I applied to the Innovation Center.
Innovation is really about just thinking differently and asking the right questions at the right time to the right people.
The team at the Innovation Center has been able to connect me to parts of this project that I never would have even known where to start. One of the earlier iterations was this one. And at that point, that's where we came up with the name Johnny Jumper, because it's a Johnny, our hospital gown, but it was more in this jumper style. As I continued to move forward and explore how I could develop this idea, I got connected to the linen service department here.
This is where it all happens.
Who were instrumental in helping me figure out the best way to design something that could be laundered safely and brought back to patients on the unit.
It was about four or five samples before we were able to settle on something that was going to work for our machine. So this machine here, our small piece folder, is where the Johnny Jump Up will take place.
Across the board, people not only were accepting of the idea and enthusiastic about it, they would say, well, how about this? So I was able to trial one of the iterations on a patient who's needing to wear mitts so that he wouldn't be pulling in his lines and tubes. They successfully took the mitts off and were able to have him rest peacefully, use less medication.
We believe by leveraging the expertise and talent of our care team members, we have the opportunity to transform care like never before.
It makes me feel very emotional.
Fantastic.
Without the Innovation Center, it would have been very slow progress, if any. The fact that we have a vehicle to bring those ideas forward has been amazing. It's really spreading this culture of we can be innovative and there's support for that. And even if it takes a while, you know, you'll have help along the way and continually make progress.
Wow. Just wow.
I mean, that's,
it's so amazing and inspiring. So this is a frontline care team member who recognizes a real problem. And you think about all that had to come together to make that work. And so if you're talking about trying to figure out a way to safely discharge a neurosciences patient home, it would not necessarily be my first thought to think that our laundry and linen team would be a part of solving that problem. But the reality is they work,
absolutely,
which kind of goes back to that notion of diversity of thoughts and opinions to ultimately help create innovation.
Absolutely. And the insights that all care team members can help support innovation, right?
It's really fantastic. And this is just one example, because I know I get to participate with you in some of this. And I know there are dozens of these now that we've been launching and fostering, that really, some of which really have a huge potential to impact how we deliver care, and not just in Maine and New Hampshire, not just at Maine Health, but really across the world.
Absolutely.
In some cases. In fact, I talked with one of our innovators who's really had a successful product that is really going to impact how we educate patients, that is starting to be deployed around the world. Really, really cool stuff.
It's really cool.
And
right?
Very exciting. And to think that all of that sort of originates here is really amazing. Now, is this accessible to all care team members?
Absolutely.
So if someone is thinking, like, I think I have an idea, how would they go about engaging the Innovation Center?
Call me. I'm in the phone directory. My email is the same as yours. First name, last name at mainhealth.org, and our team members as well.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
And are you overwhelmed with people reaching out to you, or do you want more people to reach out to you?
We always welcome, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We love learning about people, how they're thinking, having them learn more about us. I would love to encourage folks to also look at our website. There's so many more stories, like you said, Andy. It's really terrific.
Yeah, it is super inspiring to go to the website to read about some of what our care team is coming up with and to see how they've been supported through the rest of the health system and through the Innovation Center specifically to help bring these ideas to fruition, to really make an impact in the lives of our patients, which is really awesome. And it really ties really all of our values together in a lot of ways, not just innovation. We call it the Innovation Center, but really in a lot of ways, it's the innovation, patient-centered, integrity, excellence, ownership center in a lot of ways, which is really, really kind of cool. Now, Susan, there are many days where I'm sitting at my desk and I'm thinking, man, my brain's just not working and I'm not really that innovative today and I don't have any like original ideas. So in those moments, does that mean that the Innovation Center is something I should like stay far away from and not be engaged with?
Absolutely not. We always welcome everyone, because as you see that whole, the concentric, you know, the circle, right? Your expertise will help somebody think differently, right? Have you thought about this in operations or in the business component? So everyone has expertise that they can help advance innovation and innovators' ideas.
Okay.
So just give us a call, right? Jump in to the coffee corner, learn something, share something. It always helps.
It can potentially stimulate. So seeing some of this other innovation can potentially stimulate thinking and ideas. And then if I've got a problem to solve, I can potentially reach out.
Absolutely.
And try to get some more diverse perspectives on how we can solve the problem and make that better for our care team.
Absolutely. We say we work with people, not for them. We work with you to advance it.
Very, very, very cool. I know you're proud of the work that you and your team do and the work that our care team has done.
Yes.
To really think outside the box, to innovate, and to really make a big impact in the lives of our patients. Yes. So thank you. So I hope all of you out there can see how our innovation center is really tied directly to our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. And, you know, it really is investment in the future. Investment in the future of our organization, investment in our care team for their future, but also investing in really the future of how we deliver health care.
You know, as an innovator, when we invest in them, it's imagine the story that they get to share. It's like, Maine Health, the largest employer in Maine, is backing my idea, right? Yeah. That's an amazing organization.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Susan, thank you for sharing all of this information about the Innovation Center. Thank you for the work that you and your team do every single day. And I bet we're starting to get some questions. So, Caroline, is it a good time to start moving toward a question segment?
It is always a good time to start into the question segment. So, again, if you have a question for Susan or for Annie, just put first, last names and pronouns in the chat with your question, and we will get it out there. In the meantime, I'm going to start with some of the email questions. And I was thinking as you were talking that a lot of these questions that come in are about people's needs, right? So it's a good time to be thinking about how to solve for some of the things our care team members are thinking about. One question that has come up several times in the past couple weeks by several people is the question about Progyny fertility benefits and if there were additional or coverage options for fertility treatment with Maine getting ready for LD 1539, an act to provide access to fertility care. So I want to start there, Andy, and see if you did have any updates for our team because they are asking for them.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple things. So first and foremost, we know this is a big deal for many of our care teams. So we've heard that loud and clear. In addition to that, one of the first guiding principles we agreed upon as a senior leadership team when I arrived is that we're always going to follow the law. We're not going to break the law. So for those reasons, we are going to be offering fertility benefits with the upcoming benefit plan, but we don't have all the details yet. So we've talked about this a lot on this program. We will have details to share as we get closer to open enrollment. Until that time, there's not really anything else to share at the moment. So this is one of those, we will talk about it openly when that becomes available. In the meantime, just hold tight. We will ultimately have more information and get this to you. We recognize just how important this is.
We had another question about the care team engagement survey that people have been looking at. Morgan said, the care team engagement survey prompted some questions. When answering questions, it asked me about, quote unquote, my organization. However, when reporting on it, it corresponds to my immediate team, not Maine Health as a whole. I've heard a lot of people saying, remember, this survey is about your team, not the Maine Health system. Morgan wants to know, how can we give feedback for Maine Health as a whole outside our individual teams and manager?
Great question. And first of all, Morgan, thank you for engaging around the engagement survey. Thank you for filling it out. Thank you for being a part of it. These are really, really important. So first of all, you know, at the end of the day, your local environment is part of Maine Health, and so you are providing that direct feedback. At the same time, recognize that your survey results are seen by your manager, their manager, and so on, all the way up to me. And so I have the ability to see your results as well. I don't know that they're from you because it's all blinded to us. We don't know who submitted the survey results, but I get to see them. And I also get to see the written comments, and I read every single one of those written comments last year. It took a long, long, long time, but it was important. And so we can see that. So the written comments are an awesome way to give specific feedback about our system as a whole. And so take advantage of that when you're doing the survey and recognize that any leader you know, in your chain can ultimately see that information up to and including the CEO.
One of the things that I do when I'm not doing Andy's Open Door, I do some work with Maine Health Innovation and some of their communications. And one of the things that I think is really cool that they do is they also lift up innovators that may not have gone through Maine Health Innovation, but also have innovations. And we actually got an email question about an innovation that we've had at Maine Medical Center that I know Maine Health Innovation is working on amplifying. Sally had a question. I read in Preble Street's curbside newsletter that Maine Medical Center has partnered with Greater Portland Health and Preble Street to create Maine's first recuperative care program. This is great news. Can you tell us more about it?
Do you want to start with that, Susan?
Now, this is a great story, and I'll let you take it on. But this is, I heard from Lou and Zana that Catherine Cope was also the driver here, the leader for Make It Happen at Maine Medical Center. And it's just been a new way of thinking and helping to solve our length of stay problem. So
yeah,
let's share it with you.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't completely solve our length of stay problem, but it makes a big impact mm-hmm. on a certain subset of the population. So Catherine, who's now our new operating officer at Southern Maine Healthcare, just as of a couple of days ago, worked with the Maine Medical Center team. The Maine Medical Center team did a tremendous job in ultimately seeing this to fruition in partnership with the Innovation Center. But this is an opportunity to take patients who would often be discharged back to a homeless condition where they don't really have a place to go, and that would frequently result in exacerbations of their medical condition or social circumstance that would bring them back to the emergency department. And so they would constantly sort of stay in our system and in the hospital. And so this gave them the opportunity to then be discharged to a center in conjunction with Preble Street and operated by Greater Portland Health, a federally qualified health clinic, to really provide a place for them to rest, recover, and get the nourishment and other things that they needed. And it has really saved us a lot of hospital bed capacity because those patients don't have to come back to the hospital. And I think we've estimated that just short of 1,000 bed days of capacity that we've been able to then provide care to other people in the community who also need that care, and really giving them a much better opportunity and better place to go to rest and heal than they might have otherwise had. So this is a wonderful innovation story that's really making an impact every day.
I
was going to say, just a tremendous amount of work on the Maine Medical Center team to make this happen.
Absolutely, and it's just what Carolyn had mentioned is we help highlight the stories that are going on around Maine Health, so it's mapping innovation, and this is just one of the highlights that we've been able to do recently.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we've got a question from Claudia about the new Maine Health holiday calendar for 2024, which we put out, I think, about just after Andy's Open Door last time. Claudia said, "I'm upset about the new holiday calendar. It feels like we've put aside parts of the foundation of our country by, number one, removing President's Day as a recognized holiday for Maine Health, and number two, continuing to disregard our veterans, those who fought for our country and many times gave their lives for our country." Claudia goes on to say, "It feels like we're more concerned with much of the chatter around equality and inclusion and have forgotten how we got to where we are." Andy, could you address the why behind the new holiday calendar?
Yeah, sure. And Claudia, I'm sorry that the new holiday policy is upsetting to you. This is a hard change for many, and we recognize that as we really come together to be one team working together so our communities are the healthiest in America, we are going to have to make some changes to really work together as one team and create something that makes sense for the whole organization, and certainly recognize the importance of those holidays and some of those individual holidays to some of our care team. And at the same time, I don't know that we've completely forgotten all of the founding holidays that represent our country, things like the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day, for example, which are still going to be celebrated in the calendar. And at the same time, as we think about all of our care team and really trying to think about how we give people the opportunity to recognize days that are equally important to them. And while we also have to think about how we got here as a nation, we also have to think about how we got here as a care team. And we have people who've immigrated to the United States, who've become part of Maine Health. We have people who have lots of different values and religious perspectives that have become part of Maine Health. And we need to give them the opportunity to have the ability to recognize those days that are important to them. Claudia, I can appreciate some of it. I'm a veteran myself. I spent 7 years on active duty in the United States Air Force and 4 years in the Air Force Reserves. And so certainly, recognizing our veterans is important. And so now with the new policy, I have the ability to decide to take PTO on Veterans Day, and I can celebrate that day if that's important to me. Or if it's not, in recognizing that not all of our Maine healthcare team are veterans, then they have the ability to use that day to celebrate something that's important to them as well, and that's important. Whether there's chatter or not, equity and inclusion have got to be an increasingly important component of our culture at Maine Health. And we have to do that for a number of reasons. We need to understand how we're really engaging and caring for our community and our patients. And that means recognizing our own unconscious bias. And it's there whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And so the more we can start to really understand and appreciate how that influences how we engage each other and how we ultimately engage our patients is super important. And that's really important work that we need to do. We also are not going to be able to meet the organizational needs for our workforce simply in Maine and New Hampshire, as much as I wish we could. We're a big organization that's going to have huge needs to continue to grow and develop and bring people into the organization, such as nurses and physicians and others, and we just don't have the training capacity to meet those needs in our state. And the reality is the rest of the nation is becoming more diverse. And so if we're not becoming more inclusive, equitable, in creating an environment that welcomes diversity, then we're going to struggle to meet our future needs. And that could become an existential crisis for us if we're not careful. And so we have to do that. And then lastly, there's plenty of evidence in the business world that, you know, being diverse and recognizing the importance of diversity, as Susan's alluded to earlier today in talking about innovation, and creating an equitable and inclusive environment, frankly, just results in better business decisions and greater business success long term. So for all of those reasons, and just the fact that it's just the right thing to do, we're going to continue that journey on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and thinking about how we can be more inclusive and giving our care team options to recognize different holidays is an important part of that.
We've got a question from Jeff, who describes himself as a relatively recent hire to the Maine Health community. He was wondering if there was a plan to create a methodology of identifying job descriptions to allow the determination of potential future career paths. He said, I'm aware of my current hierarchy, but know there may be some adjacent paths.
Yeah, Jeff, for sure. So first of all, welcome to Maine Health. We're glad you're here. And in addition to that, we really want to ultimately create this for every career opportunity at Maine Health. And we have this for some, and now that we're starting to come together as a system, we're starting to really create consistent pay scales, we're starting to create consistent expectations, it gives us much greater opportunity to build those career ladders in the future.
So the chat is pretty quiet, and I was thinking about this, and I know Susan and I have had a lot of conversations about how a lot of people don't think of themselves as innovators, or how it can be kind of intimidating to put yourself out there as an innovator. And Susan, I know you've got some exercises that you do with people to get them to try to think about what kind of innovator they might be. And I was wondering if you might be able to share one of those.
Sure. Andy, do you want to play a little
I'm
bit?
I'm happy to play along. Won't hurt, will it?
No, not
okay,
at all.
Okay, good. All right.
No, just wondering, if you think about where do you want to be, would you rather live in the past, the present, or the future?
I'd probably rather live in the future.
And why?
Because it's exciting, I think, to think about what the future could be and what we have the ability to create together.
Yeah. And it's one of the same thing here. I love the future and I wonder what we can do and keep moving forward. But it's just a different, you know, you try to understand your personality because in innovation, there's the innovators, the builders, and there's the maintainers, and you need all of that, right? And so it's just fun to just think, oh, what are my strengths here?
Oh, interesting. Right? So in some ways, it really is about really finding the right role to play on the team,
yes.
Which goes back to a little bit of what you said earlier, that there really is a role for everyone.
Absolutely.
In innovation, regardless of whether or not you think of yourself as an innovator.
Yes, and you need a team in innovation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Katie has a question in the chat, wanted to know, along the lines of looking at the career opportunities, if there was a way to include salary ranges in job descriptions.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually for sure. And so part of that is around creating that equitable pay scale across the organization and creating consistency with that. And so I think that's the first step in helping us get there. We're making good progress on that front.
Jen was wondering if Maine Health would consider adding PTO accruals and deductions to pay stubs.
Yeah, so this has been asked before, so I think this maybe not quite as often as the progeny question, but still being asked quite a bit. And so you can certainly, today's world on our current pay stubs, you can see PTO payouts and some of that information. When we move to the new INFOR program that's supposed to happen next year, then you will be able to print these on your pay stubs. And so that is coming as a new feature.
Erica said, loved the video about Newgown. Video said that Newgown would hopefully be launching in the fall of 2022. It is an older video. She was wondering if you have an update to share, Susan.
Yeah, I know Sarah is working with Jim and Jeannie, and right now there's a work staffing shortage. So right now she's waiting to help pilot and have more of a conversation with Jim.
Okay.
Yeah. But there certainly is support, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seth wrote in saying that he was concerned about wages for some jobs that entail technical expertise here at Maine Health are no higher than those at local fast food restaurants, he says. And he wanted to know if Maine Health had any plans to reevaluate the larger system it uses to determine wages and pay scales. He said maybe using different analytic partners, doing market surveys in-house, widening the market terms using the survey, etc.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in some ways, a lot of that work gets done through the way we think about compensation. So we actually have a pretty sophisticated way of looking at that that involves a lot of those things. So we zoom into the regional market. We also zoom out to look at the broader national market to understand where we are. We do look at analytics that include some of our own hiring practices, where we've been successful, where we haven't. We take direct feedback from our talent team that's recruiting individuals out there to understand that despite the data, we still have issues and challenges. And we have a very sophisticated compensation partner externally that helps us do all of this as well. So Scott Ballard, our Chief People Officer, and Helene Kennedy of Talent, and that entire team are really, Tammy Broadhurst, they're all really working hard to make sure that we are thinking about how we compensate individually fair and equitably over time. And we're going to be providing additional education that will be able to, that care team members will be able to access here shortly through the intranet that really talks about what's involved in that process to ensure that we really are competitive in the marketplace.
Scott was asking, with more and more people working from home in states other than Maine and New Hampshire, is it possible to investigate the cost of our insurance company? For employees that can physically attend at a Maine Health facility, coverage is at 90% after deductible. But for employees who are unable to go to a Maine Health facility, coverage after deductible is 70%. We all pay the same premium. Has the reduction of the employee's portion of the insurance cost been considered for remote workers?
So, great question from Scott. And the first part of the question around is it being considered, I honestly don't know, but I'll tell you some of the challenges around that. So, many people believe that we hire Aetna and we pay them a lot of money to then ultimately pay for the care that happens when one of us ultimately needs to go to the doctor or hospital or other things. But the reality is that's actually not the case. We pay for the care. We happen to pay Aetna a service fee for administering all the charges and bills and keeping it all straight and managing all the benefits and all of that. But ultimately, Maine Health writes the check for all of this. So we're a self-insured company, which means that Aetna is not taking insurance risk on us. We're taking the risk on us. So we actually pay for all of that. So if I'm out of the region, and I happen to go to, for example, I'm in Minnesota, and I go to the Mayo Clinic, then ultimately Maine Health pays the Mayo Clinic for the care that happens through for our care team member, and we pay Aetna a little service charge for actually making sure that payment occurs and that Mayo Clinic hasn't overbilled us for things and that we're all, you know, everything is the way it's supposed to be. And so when we look at that care that occurs for people outside of our region, it is, on average, a little bit more expensive. And we have to pay a little bit more to Aetna to manage that network outside of our own service area where we have a network with Aetna. And so for those reasons, it is a little more expensive. So we'd have to really carefully consider whether we could do that or not. Now, the reality is, if we were in an industry, and maybe it's like, you know, Susan, you've probably seen those new goggles like Apple's got and all that stuff. They're probably making a lot of money on that stuff. If we were in an industry like that where we were making so much money and none of that mattered, then sure, that would be an easy answer. But the reality is we're not. Healthcare is under a lot of attack and we're under a lot of financial pressure right now. And, you know, as we think about where we were at the end of last year, we lost a full penny, which represents about $40 million. So when you think about those 100 pennies that we get paid, our goal is to try to keep three of them. And we actually had to pay an additional penny last year. Right now, we're paying an additional third of a penny, so we're making good progress. We're getting closer to breaking even, but we're still not quite breaking even. So in a context of benefits like that, if we were to reduce the premium there, then that makes it more difficult to give pay increases and do other things that you all are going to want and expect in the future. So we'd have to start making some trade-offs, and that's hard. And so that's why we're trying to be thoughtful about the best way to try to manage all of this to ensure that you get paid the way you want to, that you can anticipate cost of living increases. Many of you emailed me to remind me about where inflation is at right now and some of those expectations. So it really is a balancing act around all of those things to ensure that we can continue to deliver on our patient care responsibilities while at the same time making sure that you've got the other benefits, salary, and compensation that you all expect.
Debbie has a question for Susan in the chat. She says, I recently visited a local health system to look at how they care for our older population. There are long waiting lists for care. How could we use innovation to care for Maine's growing older adult population, since we are one of the oldest states in the country? Does Susan have examples of innovation in this space?
I'm trying to think of some of the aging population. So we've done home care at home, right? And we're doing the telehealth to help patients be in the communities a little bit more with the telehealth teams doing that.
Yeah, for sure. And we've got a lot of other geriatrics. So we have, we're fortunate to have geriatric trained physicians mm-hmm. and a fellowship program. We also have a lot of work going into just making sure that they can find access for care. And whether that's in their primary care clinic, whether they're specialty care clinics, and there's a lot of innovation actually mm-hmm. occurring there. Some of that is probably engaged with the Innovation Center. Some of it not. A lot of that's happening organically within the clinics to ensure that we can do that, because continuing to meet the needs of an aging population will be increasingly important to us, given the fact, as the person in the chat stated, Maine is now really, on a relative basis, the oldest state in the nation, right. And New Hampshire's number two, so right behind Maine. And so that's going to continue to be an increasing part of how we think about delivering care. In some ways, we've innovated a little bit with Agilon in thinking about how we can provide care for those senior patients who happen to have Medicare Advantage to help ensure that they're staying healthy and safer. And some of that spills over to our other senior patients as well.
I was going to say, Susan, your team does do a lot of work with people who want to work on different care delivery models, too. And this isn't necessarily specifically for the older population, but you have a great example out of Western Maine Health about bringing a new care model that might sort of be relevant about the types of things that we could do for the older population.
Yeah, this is a fantastic innovation with Brian Nolan, who's a family doc up in Western Maine Health, right? Mm-hmm. And so 1,300 patients. He knows that there's only maybe one eye care specialist, and diabetes is a concern, right? And so he brought in AI, artificial intelligence technology, which is a camera, to his family setting, so that and ask the patients who trust him already, say, hey, can I take 10 minutes, take a picture of your eye, and within minutes they can determine the severity or not of potential blindness. So to us, it's a different care model. It's a learning healthcare system, because this team is learning about new technologies that help complement their expertise, and it helps the patients as well, right? Right at the minute, they'll know about their healthcare and how to handle it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic example, mm-hmm. and what a great project that really has the ability to expand the amount of care that can be offered to those patients, keeping them in the community, mm-hmm. not having to drive, doing it at a lower cost.
Right.
So Dr. Nolan and the team, congratulations on that. It's a big deal.
Yes.
All right, we've got one more question in email. So if you've got a chat question, now is your time. Shannon had said that she had heard from care team members that Aetna had canceled coverage of medications. It's not an easy process to find a working medication, and the disruption, because the cost skyrockets, it's not an easy thing to maneuver, she says. Is there anything Maine Health can do to negotiate how many times a year formularies change? And if not, is there an easier way for people to find out if medication coverage is canceled before they go to the pharmacy?
Yeah, great question. And certainly, ideally, it's not at the pharmacy that you find out that's occurred. And so, you know, Aetna, in theory, should be proactively sending us some letters. And I know they've done that in a number of cases to say, hey, we're making a formulary change. And going back to what I stated earlier, just to remind everybody, we actually pay for those medications out of MaineHealth's dollars to pay for them. So we're actually paying Aetna to manage the expense of those medications by trying to find an appropriate alternative that's lower cost, which is why this is occurring. And so we could potentially tell Aetna not to do this, but if we did, then our costs are going to go up dramatically. And again, it's going to compete for other benefits and salaries and other things. And so we have to balance that to a degree. And so that's why that's occurring. And so we do need to make sure, however, that we are thinking about it. And Aetna has some of that information on their website for us specifically. But we do want to make sure that you're finding out before you go to the pharmacy. And then we can certainly evaluate what the impact of changing those formulary restrictions might be. But it's probably going to be in the millions of dollars. And again, we could use those dollars for each other, for our patients, for other things. And so that's why that happens.
All right, that's it for our questions. We have a ton of recognitions. They just kind of came flowing in this week. And the first one, we want to have Susan have an opportunity to make her recognition, because we've been talking about all the people that make innovation happen. So I know you've got one.
Right, Andy. I could go on for days thanking folks, both the innovators, the care team members, but who I really want to put front and center right now is my innovation team.
Absolutely.
They're just absolutely amazing and instrumental in making us successful. And I want to introduce Todd Keeler, right, a Director of Intellectual Property and Technology Transfer. He'll help protect your idea. We have Kim Harvey, who is absolutely amazing. She's the one responsible for mapping stories across the system. And she'll also help people pitch their idea, learn how to pitch so you can share it and bring on colleagues as well. We have Angelina Clancy, who is the coordinator, and she is leading our MaineHealth Innovation Newsletter, which is really incredibly popular, not just within our MaineHealth system, but we have subscribers across the nation who's interested in learning about MaineHealth and our innovation. So that's fantastic. And Nick North, who's the Administrative Specialist 3, who's fantastic, and she's just the backbone of our team. They're just absolutely incredible, and I can't thank them enough. Heartfelt thank you.
Yeah, an amazing team doing a lot of amazing work to have a big impact in healthcare, ultimately helping us achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America, which is great. So thank you for that. Susan, thank you for being a part of the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, certainly happy to have you here and really talk and highlight some of the great work that you and the team are doing. So thank you for all of that. All right, we've got some additional recognition today. So the first thing I want to start with was some great news. We got it a little bit earlier than probably we expected, but certainly no one was surprised by this. And that's COPI certification for our cancer program. So COPI stands for Quality Oncology Practice Improvement. This is really about the highest level of cancer certification a cancer program can receive, which is really, really awesome. The reason we haven't had this yet is because we have a relatively new cancer program, and so you have to build to a certain number of cases and volume, and then the application process takes years and thousands of hours of people's time to actually put this together. So I really want to congratulate. This is a big, big deal that looks at the integrity of clinical trials, the quality of the outcomes of our cancer programs. I'm sure somewhere in there it talks about positively identifying patients and washing your hands before you engage in care delivery. But all of the things that are involved in this are really, really, really important. And not everyone gets this level of recognition, just a handful of the best cancer programs. So this is a great accomplishment for our cancer program. So Dr. Scott Remick and Mike Bianchi and the team, thank you all for what you've done to really help make this possible. Really incredible. The next thing we'll share is I had the opportunity to spend some time with our incredible team at Nordics and Dr. Guillermo Martinez Torres, their leader, and just was blown away at some of their innovative thinking around how to solve some of the challenges that we're facing at the time, including a backlog of histopathology and cytology slides, and was there on a Friday, and they were all planning to come there the next day to continue to work through some of the backlog that they had. And they were able to work down a month's worth of backlog and really get back on track. in just a matter of weeks, with just some spirited teamwork and some real commitment to our patients and doing the right things. And I'm just so amazed at this team. They add tremendous value to our patients, to our care team, and their care journey. So congratulations to Nordics, and thank you for all the great work that you all continue to do. All right, this next story is real, and we're going to be talking about goat yoga. Who knew? So goat yoga at Maine Behavioral Health is an event that Maria Hajani organizes for the Maine Behavioral Health team every year. Yes, goat yoga is a real thing. The free goat yoga session was offered at Smiling Hill Farm on May 23rd, and you can see from this picture how much joy it brought to everyone who participated. What a unique and fun way to share care team appreciation, and that seems pretty innovative to me. Who knew? So great work, Maria, and that Maine Behavioral Health team. They're doing some amazing things. And then I'm really excited to introduce something new to our recognition part of our program. So the patient experience team will be sharing patient feedback provided by the NRC surveys we receive. So I'll be calling out some of these on a regular basis. And this week, the Maine Medical Center Emergency Department was recognized with the following appreciation. The patient stated, everyone was amazingly kind, helpful, and worked great as a team. Just extraordinary care and much appreciated. I really have to say that all the nurses and aides were fantastic and the stress lab folks were great. I was just really impressed with how well coordinated everyone was working together. Dr. Crispo and Maddie, the fourth year med student, were a great team, and Maddie will be an amazing doctor. Madalena and the gentleman who helped transport me to the stress lab were kind and engaging. We are so lucky to have such an incredible hospital and fantastic staff. Thank you for all you do under challenging circumstances. And well, we are so fortunate to have the team at Maine Medical Center, the emergency department, who are working in some challenging times for sure, but continue to deliver outcomes like that. I also received a great letter about a patient who received fantastic care there. So thanks to the Maine Medical Center team in the emergency department for all of that. All right, next open door right after the holiday on July 5th at 9 a.m., the usual time. Look forward to seeing everyone there. And before we get back together, make sure as you're engaging with patients that you're positively identifying the patient in front of you and then washing your hands carefully before you engage in patient care. Thank you so much for all that you do, and we'll see you next time.